This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, three stand out, which help support gastric health and offer digestive support. GI Guard AM, GI Guard PM, and Peppermint Oil GI. Numerous clinical studies have demonstrated that these products can help to support GI health and promote gastric comfort. They help maintain the integrity of the stomach lining and its proper immune responses to the typically harsh gastric environment. Their ingredients are backed by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocol for life balance. That's drhoffman.com/protocol for life balance.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. All things Intelligent Medicine are grist for the mill on today's program. And you can call us at 877-726-8255. Come directly into the doctor's office. We're live. I'm here. And you can have a telephonic appointment with me by calling 877-726-TALK. And we got lots to talk about on today's program. Among the stories, why is it that stress is associated with graying of the hair? Well, a new study sheds light on that phenomenon. Is it really true that stress can turn your hair white? Also, a new study that suggests that taking fish oil supplements can make men sexier, and a new study on intravenous vitamin C. All that in today's program, but of course the big news, and I'm going to take plenty of time to talk about this. This is really the theme of the first hour of today's edition of Intelligent Medicine. A big emerging story about coronavirus that is sweeping the globe now. As of yesterday, a novel coronavirus designated as 2019 nCoV emerged in Wuhan, China. And as of yesterday, and this is an emerging story, so the numbers that I quote in a couple of days may be completely obsolete. We may have a huge problematic pandemic, or maybe just a flash in the pan, depending on when you listen to this podcast. If you're listening live, you'll hear it in real time, but sometimes people download the podcasts a day or two later. As of yesterday, at least 830 cases had been diagnosed in 9 countries, principally China, in the environs of an inland city, Wuhan, a city of approximately 10 million people. But also, there's been spread to Thailand, Japan, South Korea, Singapore, Vietnam, Taiwan, Nepal, the United States. There's been a case in Washington State, and there's been a case in Chicago. And it won't be long before we'll see cases cropping up in other parts of the U.S. and now a case in Australia. And there have been dozens of deaths. But one disease modeler who is watching this from London estimates that there may be far more cases, as many as 4,000 in Wuhan, China. And clearly the hospitals there are overwhelmed. And in fact, there were some videos that were released before they were censored by the Chinese government, which show crowded hospitals with people coughing, wearing face masks, you know, literally sitting on gurneys in a crowded hospital corridor, ominously along with dead bodies. And they're so literally overwhelmed there that another picture, and you can see it on via most news services, shows a large area in Wuhan, which is being bulldozed and there are excavators, and they're working feverishly to clear the area so that they can build a rapidly constructed makeshift hospital that will accommodate as many as 6,000 patients by the end of next week. The Chinese government is responding very, very emphatically by literally quarantining this city and parts of China where the virus is affecting people. And this hasn't been done since the takeover by the Chinese communists in 1949. It's unprecedented. And it even exceeds the precautions taken during the SARS epidemic of 2002, which was a similar virus. So this is an emerging story. Is it a pandemic? Well, the definition of a pandemic, I think, is met here, because a pandemic is, and I'm quoting here, an epidemic occurring worldwide or over a very wide area, crossing international boundaries. Well, that's happened, and usually affecting a large number of people. And, you know, I just did a check on the arrival manifests at Kennedy Airport here in New York City. And a very large number of flights are coming in from China, as is the case in many international airports across the world, in Seoul, South Korea, and in Toronto, Canada, and in Los Angeles at LAX. Many airports are receiving passengers coming in from China. And what they're doing is they're very alert. They're dispatching health teams to these airports who are screening passengers for signs of disease. In China, they've set up literally roadblocks where people passing through the roadblocks are subject to thermography, which is a scan to see if they have a high temperature. Then they're singled out and evaluated for the presence of the virus. So this is big stuff. It may not turn out to be a huge life-threatening epidemic, but precisely because it seems that this disease is less severe, it may make it harder to limit its spread. Because people may have minor infections, you know, something that seems like a common cold, and yet they may be communicable. They may be carriers. It's also not known how long people can be exposed to the virus before they develop symptoms and how long in that carrier state they can transmit the virus. So maybe people who seem ostensibly well will ultimately transmit the virus. We don't know about this coronavirus, but we do know about previous coronaviruses. The SARS epidemic back in 2002 killed 8,000 people, infected tens and tens of thousands of people, with an 11% fatality rate. And how communicable was it? Just one patient. With SARS, caused a large number, over 100 infections, when that patient traveled from China to Toronto. So very, very communicable. A related disease, MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, thought originally to come from camels. These are diseases that originate from other species of animals, and then they jump to humans. And then, in yet another step of mutation, they develop the ability to be transmitted from human to human, not just from animals to humans, but then from humans to humans. Viruses mutate constantly. And when they reach critical mass and mutate in such a way that humans can transmit them, they become very contagious. In the case of the MERS virus, somebody came from Saudi Arabia to Korea and infected over 180 healthcare workers. So this is something that could really explode. We don't know the incubation period. We don't know the communicability. We don't even know what percentage of people are dying. They say that it only affects the vulnerable, the very young, the sick, the elderly. It is similar to colds, because many colds are coronaviruses, but it's a particularly severe type of cold that can ultimately cause pneumonia and kill people. But what's disturbing is news of the a news report from China about the death of a 52-year-old athletic trainer, obviously somebody in relatively good condition of middle age, and a doctor, age 62, who attended to some of the first coronavirus victims, died recently. So is that because of some underlying health vulnerability in a relatively young, active health professional, age 62? That is concerning. We'll be back with more on this emerging story, the coronavirus exploding into a pandemic that will soon sweep the globe. Is it a threat to you? What type of precautions should you be considering? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary, drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, three stand out which help support gastric health and offer digestive support: GI Guard AM, GI Guard PM, and peppermint oil, GI. Numerous clinical studies have demonstrated that these products can help to support GI health and promote gastric comfort. They help maintain the integrity of the stomach lining and its proper immune responses to the typically harsh gastric environment. Their ingredients are backed by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance.
Decades ago, Dr. O'Hara developed a formula for optimal human health, a blend of superfoods and live bacteria, naturally fermented for 3 years, encapsulated to deliver prebiotics, probiotics, and most importantly, postbiotics to your digestive system, aiding digestion, increasing absorption of essential nutrients, supporting the immune system, and unleashing the healthier, happier you. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, 100% vegetarian, non-GMO, free of artificial additives, chemicals, preservatives or colorings, dairy and gluten-free. Dr. O'Hara himself proclaimed in 1974, each capsule of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is filled with our passion and hope for bringing health and long life to all 7 billion people on Earth. And today his legacy lives on, making Dr. O'Hara's probiotics a world leader in superior probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, available online and at natural health retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255. If you've got questions about the emerging pandemic of coronavirus or anything related to Intelligent Medicine, you can call us, 877-726-8255. We're going to cover this story for the beginning part of our show because it's an important health story. China's response. Some people say, well, very good response because they really want to demonstrate that they are not an incubator for a virus that can cause havoc across the world. So they are, as befits a totalitarian state, they can enforce quarantines. They can stop people moving. Yeah, this might be more problematic here in the United States, you know, civil liberties being what they are and, you know, difficulty of mobilizing the population in one direction. There, they have literally locked down the city of Wuhan. Nobody can come. Nobody can go. But China's response has been criticized because at first they seem to have somewhat minimized this. But very quickly, they became aware that the right way to go was through full disclosure and cooperation with international health groups like the World Health Organization and people who are across the globe. We're really part of a network of people who are just waiting for something like this to happen, to spring into action. with all kinds of surveillance and countermeasures. So where did it come from? Well, the Wuhan market is famed for exotic delicacies like bat and snake and salamander and wolf puppies. They seem to all be for sale to the gourmet tastes of some of the Chinese who kind of like these exotic and prize these exotic delicacies. But as a result, humans come into contact with a lot of wild animals, and these wild animals can be vectors for coronavirus. What is a coronavirus? Well, coronaviruses, some of them are very benign. They cause the common cold, but they can also cause devastating pandemics like the SARS pandemic, which created a lot of deaths, but also created a lot of economic dislocation. When this kind of thing happens, often the stock market takes a nosedive because they know that airline stocks and stocks, things getting manufactured and supply chains, these will be disrupted because of restrictions on travel and shipping of goods. And the MERS outbreak, which happened later in 2009, I think it was, this coronavirus is so called because you look at it in an electron microscope, and it kind of looks like it has a crown. Or to more accurately visualize it, think of what those World War II naval mines look like with little projections coming out of them. Well, that's what these viruses look like. And the characteristic of these viruses is that they are encapsulated. Their genetic material is coated, and as a result, secretions, say, from a sneeze or a cough can land on a surface or stay on a telephone receiver and stay viable for perhaps days. We don't know yet about this particular virus, but the prediction is that we'll really need to swab down surfaces as well. And teams are running around in China with disinfectants to clean the corridors and streets and areas where the virus may have been shed. The problem is disinfectants. Do they really work? Well, apparently not that well. Ordinary soap and water may be just as effective as a disinfectant because disinfectants kill bacteria, but not so much viruses. They can withstand the effects of powerful disinfectants. Also, can we test for this? Will we know if people have this? Well, counter to what a lot of people are saying, there are tests available for this. There's just maybe not enough test kits available in China, and that may be why China is underestimating the extent of the epidemic. They just simply haven't been able to ship enough test kits to hospitals where people are checking and coughing, sneezing, and with fevers. Is there a vaccine? Well, three companies simultaneously working on vaccines for this. Natural remedies? Well, I think it would be exploitive to say that something, oregano or vitamin D or echinacea or something along those lines would be a bulwark against this, because we simply don't know. People with better immune systems, stands to reason, might resist it, but we can't say that these natural agents are going to be a panacea against this pandemic. 877-726-8255. We hope to hear from you today. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number. And if you look at pictures from China, I mean, you see these crowded streets. I mean, everything about China, it seems like super crowded, right? Because there are literally dozens of cities that have eight-digit populations of 10 million or more. It's not just, you know, Shanghai and Beijing and Hong Kong. I mean, places that you know of, but places that you never even heard of. Like, whoever heard of Wuhan, yet the population is 10 million plus. And these cities in the hinterland are crowded with people now wearing surgical masks. And the interesting thing about, you know, even Chinese people here in New York, you know, I sometimes see tourists or Chinese people walking down the street wearing surgical masks. And to some extent, it's protection against the cold, you know, because, yeah, you kind of rewarm your breath there. But it seems like they're used to this. They've had a lot of experience with contagion, and they wear these surgical masks. And sometimes I wonder, you know, is it just the placebo effect? Is it doing anything when it comes to either preventing the spread or rendering the individual more resistant to exposure to viruses? And it turns out that there are studies on this. Studies show that ordinary surgical masks, little paper masks, do reduce exposure to viruses. In fact, with the SARS epidemic, health professionals who wore surgical masks were about 85% less likely to come down with SARS. That leaves 15% who did come down with SARS. And one of the reasons for that is that these masks really aren't occluding. If you're going to be exposed to something highly communicable and very dangerous, like Ebola virus, you're going to wear basically a spacesuit. You know, you got to have a respirator and no part of your body exposed whatsoever to the virus. In this case, you get partial protection because, you know, around the mask, there's actually little, you know, spaces unless it adheres, you know, to your face. And around that, you know, some of these particles can get in there. But there is a little bit of a barrier to the particles entering and leaving from your mouth area. But here's an interesting part. The eyes are a conduit for transmission of these types of viruses. I mean, they always tell you when you have a cold, you know, don't, you know, touch a surface where somebody has sneezed or, you know, touch your phone and then, you know, unconsciously rub your eyes. That's one of the ways that you can get this. And so really, if you want to protect yourself, you got to wear goggles, as well as a mask that covers your nose and mouth very tightly. And then there's these more expensive masks. Some of them are called like N95 masks, and they're more expensive than regular surgical paper masks. Do they make a difference? Well, I looked at a study that shows that there's not a lot of evidence that more expensive, fancier surgical masks confer any advantage on the wearer. So, you know, terms of prevention, you know, the ordinary way to prevent colds and flus, you know, don't touch your eyes, don't put your fingers in your nose, wash your hands with soap and water, ordinary precautions that you might undertake to prevent exposure to colds might help you here. But, you know, again, we've got to have international cooperation, better surveillance. We now have a couple of confirmed cases in the United States. We need to test people who are sick. We need to rapidly quarantine them and isolate them. And so health departments across the country are going to be very busy in the next couple of weeks, and, you know, particularly big hubs like New York, Chicago, Dallas, Los Angeles, you know, places where people come in from all over the world who may be carriers of this virus and may start a conflagration, because once you establish a toehold, it can spread like wildfire. We hope to prevent that from happening, and health authorities are scrambling this weekend to make sure that that doesn't happen. 877-726-8255 if you have questions about the virus or anything else. And let's take one of our recorded questions. Let's hear that.
Hello, Dr. Hoffman. Two very quick questions. Some time ago, you had discussed liposomal colostrum to help with athletic performance as well as immune support. I continue to take it for immune support, but I'm questioning its value for athletic performance and athletic recovery. Any thoughts you have on that subject are greatly appreciated. And then secondarily, my wife works at a bank and also at a retail store where they use that chemical-coated thermal paper that coated with bisphenol A, BPA. It's impractical for her to wear rubber gloves. People that handle these inkless printing thermal-sensitive papers do have higher bisphenol A in their blood, unfortunately. Any thoughts on what I can suggest to my wife to help detoxify from anything she does absorb? I do try to have her wash her hands as frequently as possible to try to, you know, at least get it off her skin and prevent it from being absorbed. Any thoughts you might have on this subject, greatly appreciated. Thanks again, Dr. Hoffman.
Okay. Well, a couple of questions. You know, first let's, you know, talk about BPA. They're actually talking about banning receipts here in New York City, where the city council is always busily banning things. And that may actually not be a bad idea, because those receipts, you know, I feel bad, you know, not so much for me personally, because I refuse most receipts unless I'm really concerned that I might have to, you know, bring something back to the market and then show a receipt because, you know, the vegetables that I got or, you know, some product that I bought is out of code and I didn't really look at it carefully enough. So I minimize my exposure to receipts, but I feel sorry for the cashiers. Most of them these days are wearing gloves. It's too bad that your wife can't wear some kind of hand protection, because holding these tapes and receipts day in and day out, she might be exposed. And this is particularly of concern to women of reproductive age, because it seems to be a gender bender, a hormone disruptor, and that can be particularly crucial in the developmental stage when you're pregnant. So that is a concern. I recall a study that suggests that ginger, the herb ginger, may be helpful against BPA. It may help to, here's the article, ginger extract ameliorates bisphenol A induced damage in rat thyroids. Yeah, 2019. Hey, pretty good memory. It says here, BPA induces oxidative damage in rat thyroid. Ginger extract has antioxidant activities against BPA-induced thyroid damage. So, I mean, there's not a lot of information. There may be other plausible compounds out there that help to provide a bulwark against BPA toxicity. But, you know, hey, ginger tea, that's a good thing to consider. Either take fresh ginger and steep it in hot water, or get some ginger tea bags, and hey, maybe that'll do some good. Because one of the target organs for BPA toxicity is the thyroid. It is a hormone disruptor, and the thyroid is a factory for thyroid hormone. Okay, so on your concerns with colostrum, you know, yeah, colostrum is a very interesting substance, because it's what's given to babies via breast milk to establish the immune system via their gut. And the gut has more immune cells than anywhere else in the body. So you actually signal to those immune system cells and activate them via colostrum. And colostrum is used a lot in animal feed, because they think it keeps the animals healthier. They grow better. They're more resistant to infections. And so a lot of the colostrum in this country, powdered colostrum, is sold to farmers who raise animals. And it's available for human consumption. And I'm a fan of colostrum. I think colostrum is great for immunity. It transfers certain immunoglobulins and other very helpful substances to your gastrointestinal tract. It's healing for the gastrointestinal tract. It also may be supportive to overall immunity and help you fend off colds and flus. Is it helpful for athletic performance? That, I think, is less clearly established. There may be a couple of limited studies that show that individuals who consume colostrum have more endurance or more strength, better recovery, because they're overall healthier. But I think that that's a little more of a extrapolation from the research on the benefits of colostrum. It's more specifically an agent that targets GI health, combats leaky gut, reverses inflammation in the gastrointestinal tract, may help to stabilize allergies. Patients who have histamine intolerance may benefit from it. Also for patients with autoimmune disease, it may be, you know, part of a program to prevent the leakage of proteins from the gut in the systemic circulation, or endotoxins from bacteria in the gut in the systemic circulation, which may wreak havoc elsewhere in the body. That may be its primary role. Here's another thing I think that it's important you know about. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, three stand out, which help support gastric health and offer digestive support. GI Guard AM, GI Guard PM, and Peppermint Oil GI. Now, there are numerous clinical studies that have demonstrated that these products can help to support GI health and promote gastric comfort. They help maintain the integrity of the stomach lining and its proper immune responses to the typically harsh gastric environment. Their ingredients are backed by solid scientific data, and they're only available from healthcare practitioners like me. But they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. So you may want to learn about those. All right. When we return, we're going to talk about how the stress of the fight or flight response may turn your hair white. Yeah, it actually can happen, according to a major new scientific article. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
To find the Kyolic formula right for you, go to Kyolic.com. That's Kyolic.com.
Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. Hey, if you've got questions about the impending coronavirus pandemic, yeah, it's likely to be coming our way. Call us at 877-726-8255. All right. There's this story, a legendary story about how Marie Antoinette, when she was finally informed that she was about to be guillotined, that her hair went completely white on the night before her beheading. Now, that story might have been apocryphal, but a lot of people lend credence to the idea that graying of the hair is associated with stress. You know, they'll say, before I had kids, my hair was jet black. But after raising four kids, it's now turned gray white. And, you know, I myself, for a long time, I've had very dark black hair, but starting to get a little salt and pepper look. You know, and I'm doing the best I can to subject myself to stress because I want to finally get some respect. You know, I don't want to look like a kid when people come in to see me. You know, I want to look like, someone who's got a little life experience. So I welcome that salt and pepper look. But there's an amazing article in one of the world's leading medical journals that looks into this phenomenon. And they ask the question, is stress related to graying or whitening of the hair? And they do a very, very deep dive on this. Writing in Nature, a group of researchers under the direction of a Dr. Zhang have precisely identified the mechanism governing premature graying in mice that have experienced stress. And it has to do with melanocytes. Melanocytes make melanin, which is a dark pigment. And it turns out that when they subjected these mice to three different stressors, pain, restraint, and a model of psychological stress, during different phases of their hair growth, each of those stressors caused depletion of melanocyte stem cells from the bulge region. That's the, you know, that bulb that's the part of the hair where there's actually new growth occurring. Eventually leading to the development of patches of white hair. They could actually turn these mice gray with various forms of experimental stress. And they say it has to do with adrenaline, which is the body's main stress hormone. And so this is very interesting, you know, that we actually, there actually is a link. Now, of course, other things can cause graying of the hair, autoimmune disease and nutritional deficiencies. And is there a way to overcome this? Some people look at my dark hair and they say, oh, it must be all the vitamins you're taking, which I do. I'm faithfully taking vitamins for, I don't know, you know, 30, 40 years. And some people purport to notice a darkening of their hair when they take especially B vitamins. It's thought that maybe one of them in particular, PABA, may be associated with protecting the hair from losing its pigment. But according to this theory, there really is something to this, that in some cases, stress is linked to hair loss. All right, this headline, any amount of running linked to significantly lower risk of early death. The researchers say that there would be improvements in population health and longevity if more people took it up. They looked at studies on the association between running, jogging, and the risk of death from all causes, cardiovascular disease and cancer. They found 14 suitable studies. They comprised over 230,000 people. And when the data were pooled, any amount of running was associated with a 27% lower risk of death from all causes for both sexes compared with no running. That could be, you know, once a week. Even small doses of running, once weekly or less, lasting less than 50 minutes each time. Even at a slow speed, at speed below 6 miles an hour. Well, that's still pretty fast. Still seem to be associated with significant health and longevity benefits. Our research suggests that any amount of running is better than none. They conclude that increased rates of participation in running, regardless of its dose, would probably lead to substantial improvements in population health and longevity. And I am a big believer in the benefits of exercise. And, you know, if running isn't your thing, you know, maybe you've had a knee replacement or hip replacement, you're not feeling that steady running, you can achieve some of the benefits with a more gentle form of exercise like swimming or stationary bicycling or the elliptical. Those two will confer some of the benefits of running for staving off disease and death. 877-726-8255 is our number. We got lots more to talk about next hour, so stay with us on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.